talk about authority, shepherd's heart. And to me, I think we're in a place right now where we really need a clear understanding of how God's authority works, because there's a definite need for it in the earth. We live in what I call an apostolic age. When I was first starting this journey, the word apostle came up, it was very controversial. It was persecuted. Many places were afraid of it. And we're in a time where I think people readily, I'm thinking throughout the churches, whether denominational or not, accept the gifts of the Spirit and accept the gift ministries of the Spirit. We've come to understand that the gift ministries operate best and produce the most fruit in an environment of relationships and family instead of religion. And I know everybody here is probably, you've heard a lot of words about authority. You've been taught submitting to authority. You've been taught to recognize where authority is and in your own life to move in authority. With all the emphasis on this, there still is a lack of understanding of how God's authority operates, how it operates from the realm of heaven. There's still a wrong motivation for moving in authority. And because of these things, we undermine the very authority we preach about and we want to see come forth. Now, maybe you don't believe that, but I look at, we have the gift ministries in place, we have gifts of the Spirit. Where is the fruit that Ephesians talks about, where everyone being mature in Christ? Amen. That's still lacking. So it tells me, even though that we have an understanding about how God's authority works, we have certain ways of looking at things and thinking that belongs to this natural realm, but it's not a part of God's spiritual realm, heaven. So we need revelation fresh from God. We need to see the old thinking broken apart like an old wineskin, and to have new thoughts about how God's authority operates. Moving in authority, in God's authority, comes from our identity in Him and not from striving. Now, in this realm, in the natural realm, how do you get power? Those that know how to strive generally have more power. Those that are ambitious, those that want to be in control, they know how to harness the energy of their soul, their mind, their emotions, and go after things, aggressive. They tend to find themselves in places of power. But that's not how things work in God's realm. Authority is a result of identity, not striving. Let's look at the book of Ephesians. We'll go to the first chapter, verse 20. And we'll go in the second chapter. Ephesians 1:20 says, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Here's what authority is all about. Christ is seated in the heavenly places. Everything is subject to him. There's no striving involved. That's his relationship with the Father. Now, when we look at authority, what we have to understand is if that's where Christ is and that's where authority flows from, where are we seated? Well, all you got to do is turn the page. I know this is not some big mystery here. Ephesians 2, verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places, Christ Jesus. Amen. Moving in authority is a result of revelation of our identity and where we are seated. Now, we all know this verse. This is not a mystery verse. You've read this hundreds of times. But our conscious awareness most of the time in this natural realm is we are seated in a whole mound of problems. We're seated in circumstances, and we're trying to fight our way through. Because of the new birth, you are a new creature. Your old way of thinking and the principalities and powers that govern the natural age, this natural realm, give you bad information. You're constantly bombarded with thoughts that you are seated in the middle of 100 or 1,000 problems and the goal in life is to somehow work out from this mess. When because you're a new creature and Christ is in you, your actual place of residence is with him. So authority is recognizing where you are spiritually. And that's why there's no striving. Authority, once you recognize you're seated with Christ, it's a matter of just exercising from that realm what he wants done. Authority is the means of heaven invading earth and doing in this earth what God intends. And when we recognize where we are in identity in him, we loose that flow of authority to create what God wants created. There's a balance between the faith our spirit exercises and the rest we're to have. Let me talk about this a second, because people say, well, the kingdom of God suffers violence, the violent take it by force. True. What it means is the spiritual realm, as it invades the natural realm, it takes an exercise of explosive faith to see things happen. Now that faith and that violence it's talking about is talking about an intensity of spirit. It's still not talking about soulish striving. Us and our emotions and our mind trying to get worked up and make things happen. That's never a part of God's equation. That's part of the equation of religion, and all that leads to is futility, and you wear yourself out. And you get disappointed in God because things don't happen. No matter how loud you yell, how repetitive you are in your prayers,
right.
Soulish striving can never produce spiritual fruit. But when we understand that the intensity of spirit it takes to release faith, to see miracles, to see the supernatural take place in this realm, that has to be balanced with rest. When we talk about our identity, you never strive into identity. You rest into it. What I mean by that is revelation comes where you see where you are. Now, how did you get to be seated with Christ? Grace. He put you there. You were put there by the grace of God. And in recognizing that, what can you do but say yes and amen to that truth? So there's absolute rest when we recognize our identity in him. So we have to have that balance. Yes, we exercise faith. It's intense. But a person that doesn't have a balance with knowing who they are in the Lord and they have that sense of rest in him, that faith is not going to be as effective, is it? Both have to be in place. So we're talking about authority. Authority comes from identity. Your identity is something that you have because you're able to rest in him and see what he's given you by revelation. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Now, what I want to see happen this morning is some of our thinking that's resisting God's authority, even though we haven't maybe identified it that way, broken up today. Matthew chapter 8, and the story is familiar. It's about the centurion. And you remember, you start with verse 5. You can read this later. He comes and says, "My servant is lying paralyzed at home." And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not qualified for you to come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. Do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those that were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." Now what is happening here? The centurion is under authority himself. He recognizes authority. He submits to authority. Jesus comments and said, "This is the greatest faith I've witnessed anywhere." When we are moving in God's authority, it's because we're recognized by revelation we're under God's authority. You can't move in anything in the spirit that you're not submissive to. And a lot of people try to do that. A lot of people want to be in control. A lot of people want power. But to say that I want to be in the flow of God's authority, I want to speak a word with authority, see things happen, what you're first saying is, I want every aspect of my life submitted to God's authority. Because the centurion was under authority, he recognized where authority resided. It loosed within his own heart and life great faith for things to happen. He looked at Jesus. This is very interesting. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to come to your house and heal your servant. Now our response would be, great, great, come on, hurry up. He's really sick now. Amen. This guy says, oh, I'm not even worthy to have you in my home. You don't have to do that. Just speak the word. What was he saying? He saw in Jesus the Father's authority. He saw something other people weren't even aware of. Jesus didn't have to do anything. He saw what was backing Jesus' ministry, God himself. And the more we come into this authority, I tell you, I just see a lot of the striving melting away. A lot of the, we try so hard. We want the right things. We know that the supernatural realm of God is to explode in this natural realm. We're doing this morning, praying for Rhonda. Our hearts are crying out for it. But we've all struggled with guilt. We've struggled with things aren't happening like I think they should be happening. What's wrong with me? Am I doing something wrong? Are we not trying hard enough? All this stuff gets piled onto our spirit. And it's all a bunch of lies. Amen. We need revelation. We need to see things the way God sees them. And like the centurion, when we can look and see the Father's authority, the struggle's gone. You just look and say, mountain, be gone. Because you recognize who's backing your words. There's no substitute for authority. I see a lot of people get very zealous, a lot of bravado in the body. People try to, see, again, you know, we've talked about this. If you make a prayer, if you say it extra loud, kind of applying more authority. Well, loudness has nothing to do with authority. Look at the centurion. You know, everybody wanted Jesus in their house because he would perform miracles. This guy's saying, don't even bother. Just say the word. I see God's authority in you. Speak the word. It's done. We're going to come into more and more rest the more we have revelation of this. And we'll realize it's not dependent on our words. But we'll just see how much God wants to release himself into the earth. And we'll just speak the word. And it'll be done. I think that's beautiful. I love that. I love that example. But again, he was one that was under authority, so he was able to accept his authority. And greater yet, he was able to recognize God's authority in Jesus. Difference between power and authority. The power of God is manifest to work a miracle, bring a healing. Authority is connected to the being that's releasing that power. You've probably heard this example with, let's say, someone that a policeman. Power is exercised through a gun, right? If he points a gun at you, that gun can do damage to you. There's power there. The badge is the authority. Points to the badge. That badge can't physically hurt you, can it? Well, I guess it could cut you up a little bit. Not like a gun, right? But you fear that badge. Why? Because of what it represents. Authority is about a revelation of God. Who is backing it? The badge. And then when we recognize the badge and who's backing the words that we speak, the power can be released. How the enemy has tripped us up is he's challenged our identity in him. Satan has done everything he can do to block the awareness of this simple verse, Ephesians 2:6, where you are seated. He does not want you to know that when you sit down, Jesus Christ is right next to you, and you're in the Father's throne room. He'll do anything he can to cloud your mind with lies, distractions. You want to be religious? Oh, he'll fuel the fire to that. But just don't have a revelation of your identity. What happens when we don't have a revelation of our identity? We strive for what we already have. It's one of those, like, you can't get there from here. We cry out to God, I need this, I need this. And God is saying, your eyes need to be open where you are. You have it. And so when we're in that place of striving because we don't recognize who we are in him, we lose touch with God's authority and we start striving after power. And that causes a lot of problems, doesn't it? Think about in church, a lot of the abuses hasn't been because of God's authority. It's been people that have been in power trips. And you know, I heard a prophetic word once on Star Trek. What was it? Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Something like that. I'm butchering it a little bit. But that didn't originate from a Star Trek episode. That's where I first heard it. But that's a quote from long ago. But given human nature, if we're striving for power, there's going to be corruption. Period. I don't care what good intent we might have. And yeah, I want the power to do good for other people. You mix power with the human ego, you are going to have problems along the way. And that's why in church you say, well, we've got these gift ministries, we've got apostles, and people will get disillusioned because of power trips and abuse that comes from power and say, well, those ministries can't be true. No, I think they are true. There are counterfeits out there, but there's been a lot of true gift ministries that because of the abuse of power have caused a lot of problems. The gift was from God, but because there wasn't an understanding of authority and how authority is to operate, things got off track. Now, I want to take just a minute to go into this, because let's talk about apostles. I mean, this has been, everyone in this room is very familiar with that. You've been under apostolic ministry. You are under apostolic ministry in your heart and what you're submitting to and what God's speaking in the earth today. You don't have to be physically with it. You know, there's no scripture that says you have to be attached physically to an apostle. It says in the book of Acts they were heeding the apostolic word that was being spoken. It's following the word. But we look at what's happened in this age, and I've touched on this before. Apostles are seen almost like it's like the top of the ladder, the celebrity ladder. They're the stars. They're the thing everybody's, if you're ambitious for ministry, that's where you want to end up, the top. And it's so far removed from the scriptures. How did Paul describe his apostleship? He talked about the things that he suffered. He talked about how he didn't even consider himself to be an apostle. He says, I'm the least of all these guys. In New Testament times, the apostolic ministry was seen as a great way of service. They were servants of all. Their lives were poured out so others could live. They weren't celebrities to be put on pedestals. We live in an age where there's very limited understanding of true authority, but there's great focus on power. And because of that, it's not that we don't have gift ministries. We haven't related correctly to the gift ministries. Either the people in power have not understood what authority is all about, is to serve, and they've gotten off on some ego trip, or people under them have said, okay, we want to make you great. We want to make you this and that. Just like, what did they do with Jesus? They wanted to make him a king. Logical. This guy is great. He's working miracles, feeding us. Let's make him king. How did Jesus respond to that? He spoke words that offended them, John 6. He certainly could have taken the time to say, hey, guys, this is what I really mean by that. He didn't, did he? He didn't want that kind of attention. He knew that they were relating to him in a wrong way. They weren't relating to God's authority. Everybody wanted a king because they wanted to get rid of the Roman oppression. Jesus was working miracles. Here he is, the Messiah. He's going to be the king. Well, the Messiah came first to be the priest, lay down his life for us. So he saw that their desire to make him king was contrary to what God was doing. He would have nothing to do with it. So anyway, this is why it's so important we understand how God's authority works. And we understand that the abuses that we have seen in the church world are because of power trips, not because of what God's released by authority. A few more things. Bill Johnson made a statement, and I'm paraphrasing again, I didn't write it down. But he's talking about power or authority. He says, we're not to have power or authority over people. We're to have authority over darkness. Once we have authority over darkness, that same authority comes under people to support them and release them into their destiny. I think that's just so true. Everybody looks at authority saying, I want authority over people. See, right there, we're not understanding it from God's realm, are we? Right. Authority is not given to control people. It's to break the power of darkness so that we can minister, serve, and support people and release them into what God has. Turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus said, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Authority, everybody wants to focus on the authority to raise it up, resurrection life, right? First, we have to recognize the authority of God in laying down our life to the cross. Remember last week's word about taking up our cross daily? That's not the fun part, is it? But unless we move in authority to lay our life down, we won't know how to move in authority to be raised up in resurrection life. Have to follow the pattern. John chapter 13, verse 8. We're going to take a minute with this. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. He's demonstrating to the disciples how authority works in the realm of heaven. Peter said to the Lord, never shall you wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Okay, let's look at this just for a minute. Peter, in his thinking, was offended to see his master kneeling down to wash his feet. A couple chapters later, John 15, remember Jesus said, I no longer call you slaves, but now I call you friends. He was talking, this is a critical time where the way that they followed him, the way that they understood him, would not be sufficient to carry him into a new age when they were going to walk in the book of Acts, demonstrating who the Lord was, is by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was saying, hey, you guys have been slaves up to now, serving your master, but I'm going to leave, and that mentality is not going to carry you through with what's next. When the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to have to know that you're my friends, because my Spirit's going to disclose to you all that my Father wants you to know. So he's working with this transition. Now, what am I getting at here with Peter? When he said that in John 15, that was after he'd washed their feet. So when he washed their feet, their mentality at that point wasn't a friend of Jesus. It was, we're servants, he's our master. So Peter sees his idol, his hero, his master, that he's doing everything he can to obey, kneel down. And when you kneel down to wash someone's feet, it's a position of what? Humility? It's a position of vulnerability. Peter didn't want to see Jesus that way. He said, Lord, forget it. This doesn't compute here. We should be washing your feet. Jesus said, Peter, if I can't do this for you, I have no part with you. You have no part with me. If we want to look at that, that's really quite a word. If we will not receive the way God's authority comes forth, God's authority is always coupled with a humble, broken spirit. There's always that position of vulnerability. How do things work in the kingdom of God? He who is great in the kingdom, what? Is servant of all. First shall be last shall be first, on and on. These aren't just verses or platitudes to hang on a wall or just, you know, memorize nice little things we can think about once in a while. This is the way that God works. If we can't receive authority that way, if we can't have our minds renewed to that, we really have no part in expressing who the Lord is to the earth. I don't think he's saying, you're not saved, Peter. If you don't let me wash your feet, you're not going to go to heaven. But do you remember when he talked about those that healed in his name and prophesied in his name? He said, you lawless ones, I don't know who you are. Go away. You see, we can be doing the right works. We can be moving in gifts of the Spirit and still not know Christ and still not be expressing him. And that's what he's getting at with Peter. Peter, if I can't relate to you in this way, if you can't receive that this is how God's authority works, you're never going to express my life to others. I'm not going to be a part of your reality. Who do we want to follow? I think we're back to what we talked about last week. See, Peter wanted to follow a certain idea in his head of who a master was. Jesus up here on a pedestal. And Jesus offended that image and said, here's how it works, Peter. I'm going to wash your feet. Peter had a choice to say, no, I'm not going to see you that way. And then who's Peter following after that? His own mind, his own thoughts about Jesus. Because the real Lord is washing feet. So we need to allow this to break through to us. This is, say, well, I want to move in authority. I want to understand authority. This is how authority expresses. It's going to offend our thinking. It's going to offend that part of us that has this hierarchy built in our mind, how things work, that ladder. That's all a part of the natural realm. In the natural realm, if you want to be a boss, there's no requirement saying you got to have a humble spirit, right? You go in an interview, they're not saying, are you meek enough for this? What are they looking for? Can you take charge? Can you be aggressive? Sometimes the people that end up in places of power shouldn't be there because they're not there for the people. They don't have people skills necessarily. In this realm, you don't need humility to have power. In God's realm, there is no release of authority without humility. And that's what we're all about, right? All right, I know we kind of stayed long with that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. We're almost there. Peter says about shepherding, nor yet is lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And let me just read another verse to you. In Ezekiel 34:4, it says, talking about shepherding, those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and with severity you have dominated them. And they were scattered for lack of a shepherd. And they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. When power is used to dominate people, people are scattered. Instead of drawing into a oneness with the Lord, they're scattered away. They become prey, like it says here, for all the beasts of the field. God's authority does not lord it over people. Man's power does. Human power does. We need to see the difference. Human power, without that heart of love, is always going to scatter things. Things never come together in the way that God intends. We need to recognize it, not just, well, I saw that minister up there, he's trying to dominate. Recognize it in yourself. Recognize in yourself that desire to be in control, to dominate. Amen. Let's let the Lord deal with that. One last point, and I don't need to turn to any verses for this, is in 1 Samuel 17, dealing with David. What kind of heart conveys the authority of God? It's a shepherd's heart, isn't it? Remember David came up against Goliath, that big challenge, and he spoke, you know, the words, and we're all familiar with the scriptures, how dare you taunt the armies of the living God. In other words, he was all about God's honor and glory. How was David prepared for that? Now, this is a great expression of authority. I mean, David is living in reality. He understands that at his size, coming against a giant with a slingshot, when the giant is a warrior and is ready to kill, David knows the odds are not in his favor. Yet there's no doubt. Why? Because David knows his identity. Again, identity, right? Because he knows his identity, he knows that God's authority is with him. That this giant is coming against the God of heaven. What did David say as far as his preparation? Do you remember? When the lion and the bear came after the sheep, I protected the sheep. Here's the point. David learned a shepherd's heart when no one was watching. And then when everyone was watching, he was able to exercise God's authority for God's glory. The heart that we need to have is forged when no one is watching. The lion, the bear, those battles that you fight, and just it's between you and God. God is watching you, but other people don't see it. How do we respond? What do we learn? You see, in religion, it's all about being seen, isn't it? Everybody says, well, I'd like to be like Mother Teresa. Well, would you, or do you want to be seen as Mother Teresa? We're so caught up in image. We want other people to see us a certain way. I'm not sure any of us would like to live the sacrifice she lived. We want to be seen by others. Think about, remember Matthew 6, Jesus talked about how the Pharisees do everything to be seen of people. Jesus said, when you do your praying, do it in private. When you do your giving, do it in private. I thought about this. You remember those services where you'd have the what do you call them, pledges? Had to raise money. And someone would say, I pledge $100. And the person next to them going, oh, man, I better do something here. That's really $200. And it'd escalate. But you know what used to bother me is it wasn't done in private. Yeah. It's like, look at me. Look what I'm giving. Look what I'm doing. That's not the way of the Spirit, no. Is it? You know, even with our giving today, it's kind of like, yeah, we give, it's good, but everybody gives knowing that if you write that check out, you can deduct it, you get a tax break at the end of the year. It's kind of like everything's set up, I'm giving, but I've got to get something back. I've got to get recognition back or some money back. What do we do in private? Who are we when no one's watching? I'll tell you who David was. He protected the sheep. He learned a shepherd's heart. No one there to applaud him. No one to say, great job, David. So when the time came and everyone was watching, David was all about God's glory. Ultimately, this is what a shepherd's heart produces. When we move in authority, we're not looking for what's going to glorify ourselves or human flesh. We're looking for one thing. Authority is here to see that God gets the glory. And that's why it's imperative we have this heart worked in us. So just in private, be aware of what God's forming in you, how he's forging your heart, what he's doing in you. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, bless the word to our hearts today. Father, give us revelation of how you're working this within us. Amen.